We want to turn to the book of Judges. If you turn to the book of Judges, please. Judges chapter 3. Judges chapter 3. The book of Judges chapter 3. And we'll start reading at the verse 1. Judges chapter 3 and the verse 1. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know, to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof, namely five lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites that dwell in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Belhermon unto the entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hevites, and Jebusites, and they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Chushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Chushan-Rishathaim. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel the son of Kenaz died. Verse 12 says, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they have done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel, and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Jerah, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. We'll end the reading there in the middle of that 15th verse. We know the Lord will bless his word to our hearts as we open it today. So we have God's word open. Let's seek his face again. And let's pray. Lord, we commit unto you this next while as we wait upon you, Lord, to speak to us through thy word. We pray, Lord, as the word of God is preached to our hearts, that thou wilt open our hearts to hear the word of God. We pray that thou wilt help us, Lord, to respond to the word of God. We pray, Lord, that what we learn today, may we apply it to our lives. We pray, Father, that we will grow with Christ our Saviour. We pray that we will be renewed in the image of his mind. We pray, Lord, that we will go forward, putting those things behind us and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Help us, Lord, to run to Christ. Help us to flee from sin. Help us to see our Saviour Jesus Christ afresh today. May we be encouraged as we see him, Lord. We pray that thou wilt comfort our hearts. And as we go away today, we pray, Lord, that we will be encouraged as we have met together with God's people, as we have fellowshiped together and worshiped together. We pray that Thou wilt thrill our hearts, Lord, and encourage us to come back this afternoon. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt draw us to the house of God. This one thing have I desired, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt help us to see Thy face today by faith. We pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God will apply His word to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. Last Sunday night, for those that were here, we did look a little bit in depth of the pressures and influence that may be out in the world. And we do see many pressures and many influences that can halt believers from going forward effectively with Jesus Christ. Well, the children of Israel here in the book of Judges and throughout other parts of Scripture, they were people who were God's chosen people. They were a peculiar people. They were a different people. They were a people separated unto God. But they strayed continually from the Lord. They backslid many times. And for a few years, they might have enjoyed God's blessings. And for a few years, they were defiant. They were rebellious against God until they realized they were miserable without Him and they had to repent of their sins. And time after time, they fell in and out of sin. They fell in and out of God's presence, where they had His blessings surrounding them. And we could say that they were all passengers of a roller coaster. They were continually plunging from great heights, where they knew God's love, where they knew God's blessings around them, but they delved themselves into the temptations that surrounded them in the land which they are now living. Their life, perhaps we could say, was nearly a vicious circle. They were going round in circles. We want to think about overcoming sin to go through with God today. Overcoming sin to go through with God. And by seeing some of the mistakes that Israel made, and particularly in this passage that we want to look at, hopefully it will help us to stay clear of hindrances and sins, that we may have a more glorious life, walking after Jesus' life, giving our lives more fully over to God and being directed by Him. Just a little background of chapter 2 before we go on. In recent chapters and in the past book in Joshua, we can see how they were led from the land of Sinai through from Mount Sinai. After Moses had died, Joshua took the lead and he brought them into the land of Canaan, and he drove out most of the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. And we see in chapter 2 and the verse 8 that we come to the point where they're back into the land of Canaan, or they're in the land of Canaan, and we read, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And we see that the next generation that came from the generation that were led by Joshua, we see in verse 10, also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. There was a generation that arose here that didn't know the Lord. They didn't know the works that God had done for the nation of Israel as a whole, from leading them out of Canaan and all the wonderful miracles that God had done for them and led them, and how He had led them to the land of Canaan. And in verse 12, in chapter 2, verse 12, we see they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. We see that they've fallen into sin. But we see that God is merciful in verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the land, out of the hand of those that spoiled them. So we can see the book of Judges there. There are many judges that are raised up to direct Israel and guide them in the statutes of the Lord. So God is merciful. But they denied the Lord again in verse 19. It came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They cease not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. So you see how they've gone into sin again. And we come to the point at the end of chapter 2 where God decides to leave particular parts of the enemy in the land of Canaan. Remember that Joshua went in to drive out the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. But God's going to leave some of these inhabitants. Why? Look at verse 21. I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it, or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. So we see that the Lord has left these nations to prove Israel, to test them in a way. So let's think about Israel's sin. If you skip forward to verse 12, we will reflect back to the verses that we read in the Bible reading. If you go forward to verse 12, we see that Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. You see that word again. Maybe in your life there's something you try to do time and time again. You try to get it right, and the more you try to do something right, the more you get it wrong. Well, we see Israel spiritually in a sense like this, because they kept falling into sin. They kept going into their sinful habits. They sinned previously. We read that verse in chapter 2, verse 12. And we see that they sinned again in chapter 3, verse 7, which we read together. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam in the groves. So they were continually sinning against God. I wonder, is there somebody here who has a sin in their life and it keeps propping up in their minds and it keeps holding you back from serving the Lord and going forward? It's like if you think of the hurdle races that there were in the Olympics, they have to cross the hurdle. And for the Christian, there's maybe a sin in your life and you can't get over this hurdle and go on with your Christian life. It's stopping you from going on with the Lord, stopping you from knowing the greater depths of truth in the Word of God. You're spending time praying and God's not answering your prayers. Why? Because there's a sin in your life. And you know it stands before you day after day. You're not dealing with it. Well, here this was happening to Israel. They were sinning against God time after time. And remember they had children. The children of Israel had leaders. They had teachers given to them by God to guide them in the way of the Lord. So they had plenty of help to show them the way forward. They were learning. The nation of Israel had learnt much about God in their history along their earthly journey. But yet time and time again, they did evil again and again in the sight of the Lord. Those of us that are saved, is that our situation? Is there something in our lives? First of all, as we're being taught time and time again the word of the Lord, as it's presented to us, we receive plenty of help, we receive plenty of guidance, we have the word of God, but yet time and time we fall and we fail. Well, we are vulnerable in the flesh, we know that. If you look at Romans chapter 7 and the verse 18, Paul referred to his own weakness. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, it says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Paul knew the corruption of the human heart. He knew the desires of the flesh. It was wanting to go in the opposite direction from the Lord. And we need to guard our flesh. We need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our purity. We need to guard our minds from what we think of. And we need to be encouraged to read the Word of God and study it. We mentioned this last Lord's Day, and I know I'm repeating myself again. You say, why are you repeating yourself? Because we need to continue steadfastly in the Scriptures. We need to study. This is why. We need to have the Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds in the knowledge of truth. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us all things, to guide us into all truth. We need to know the Word of God. If we're not influenced effectively by God's Word, we'll be easily persuaded by the influence of the ungodly. And that even includes false teaching that may be out in the world, that may be out in many other churches that are out in society. And we need to pray for God to guard against these things, whatever issue it may be, whatever sin it may be, whatever temptation it may be. We need to pray that God will give us grace to overcome these things. And so we can do this through reading the Word of God, studying it, and seeing the principles of Scripture. Be encouraged to read the Word of God. Are you listening to God in a day where there is much influence and opinion and worldview out there? I wonder, are you sinning against God? Ask yourself, is there something in my life that God doesn't want me to have, and it's holding me back from serving God more? Ask yourself, what is it? What is it? Search me, O God, the hymn says. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. The children of Israel, they were drawn to idols. They were drawn to false gods along with other temptations. What sort of gods might take over our lives? We know the commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Are you breaking that commandment? Are you breaking the law of God by putting something before the true and living God? That's a serious thing. We need to get rid of that thing that's in front of our minds and our hearts. We need to get a clear view of God. So they were once again hindered from going on with God. Once again they fell into the devil's trap. They were channeled into those sins where their spiritual weak spots lay. And they weren't listening to God. They weren't listening to God. I wonder, to the unsaved this morning, you need to realize that spiritually you are blind. You are blind spiritually. You are in sin. You are corrupt in your sin. By nature, we are all sinners. We are all corrupt in our end because of sin. But you are not saved. You're still not in union with God through Jesus Christ. You have fallen short of the law of God. We mentioned one of the commandments. You have fallen short of the glory of God. And for you to reach that standard, God's standard, you need to come through the name of Jesus Christ. You're hindered at this moment in time from entering heaven. You're hindered. Why are you hindered? Because of your sin. And there's a great gulf between you and God, you who are not saved. Isaiah chapter 59 and the verse 2 says, Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. You're outside of the presence of God. Your sins have separated you. Is that not a frightening thing, being outside the presence of the Creator, the one who has the very power to take your life and end your life, the one who holds your life in the very palms of his hands? Does that not frighten you? Is that not a fearful thing? That your life could be cut off in an instant? You need to get to God. You need to get rid of your sin. Israel's punishment then, we thought about Israel's sin. You see, there's consequences for sin. There's consequences for sin. And we must all remember that. There are consequences for our actions. The Lord God has given us a wonderful privilege to be able to take action with our minds, with our conscience, and to be able to take action and decide things in life. But he's also given us responsibility. and for responsibility for our actions. So there are consequences for our actions. And as we would expect to happen to Israel here, God has to deal with the sin again of them departing from God. So what is the punishment this time? Well, we read in the middle of verse 12, we read that the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel. Notice that the Lord strengthened the enemy. The Lord strengthened Eglon. He was from the land of Moab. And the Lord strengthened this man to go against Israel. Eglon, he was a heathen. He was from an ungodly nation. But look how God uses this man to deal with his own people's sins, the land of Israel. In verse 13, we read together, at the end of verse 13, that they smote Israel and possessed the city of palm trees. The city of palm trees was the city of Jericho, it's believed to be, the city of Jericho. So notice that Eglon as well, he didn't do this alone. He didn't go to smite Jericho, this main city where they would have been after crossing the River Jordan. He took with him, in verse 13, the children of Ammon and Amalek. He took with them the Ammonites and the Amalekites to take part in this force against Israel. Now, these Amalekites especially, they were riotous people. They were more or less cowboys. They didn't really have a home as such. They cowardly roamed through these eastern countries, as far as history tells us, literally raping and torturing countless numbers of people, slaughtering people recklessly, leaving behind them, destroying homes, destroying families, tearing people's livelihood apart. You see, while God is a God of love, while God is a God of mercy, the Bible says many, many times throughout Scripture, God is good, doesn't he? Doesn't it say that? God is good. Why? For his mercy endureth forever. That's right. So God is full of mercy. Yeah, he is kind. He is generous in giving his grace and favour to those who come to him for forgiveness of sins. But we must remember that God is also a God who hates sin. God hates sin. God hates the sin that people do. And he must punish sin. I was reading a couple of books, or scanning through them. Didn't really want to read them that much. Scanned through them and picked out little bits and pieces. And they talk about how one of the authors talked about how her God is love. That was her God. God is love. That was her God. And she said that my God doesn't punish. And that's the idea of people throughout the world today. They see God as somebody who's a God of love. And they ask, why does God do this? Why does God do that? Why does God allow all of these bad things to happen in the world? They ask all of these different questions. But they don't want to admit that God hates sin. They don't want to come to the reality that God is a hater of sin. God has given us his word. He has given us the law. He has given us the commandments. He has given us instruction in the word of God. He has set his standard. And for us to get to his standard, we must come God's standard. We must come God's way. We must come through the standard of God, meeting his standard. We have fell below God's standard. Remember what Romans 3 verse 23 says? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have fell below the standard of God. And we are not able to get to the standard of God by ourselves. The children of Israel then, they have been surrounded. They have been taken hostage. What happens to them? Look at verse 14. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. 18 years. Notice, we read the first half of this chapter. Go back to verses 7 and 8 in chapter 3, where they sinned previously. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Verse 8 says, therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. 8 years. And we read in verse 14 now that the children of Israel are serving this other king, Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years, 10 years longer than their previous judgment. They were serving that king, Cushan-Rishathaim, 8 years. That king who was from Mesopotamia, which simply is a word that means a land between two rivers. And it was, I think it was in between the river Tigris, and there's another river Euphrates there. It means a land in between two rivers. And they were serving that king who was from that area, which is the nation of Syria today, for 8 years. This was a small sentence, wasn't it? This was a small sentence compared to this recent one that we've just read in verse 14. Doesn't it show you how the Lord was dealing with his people? He was prolonging the punishment. He was trying to drive it home to their hearts that they are sinning against the holy God, against the perfect God. They're going too far. You see, we need to listen to God. When in a day where there's opinion and pressure to conform to a world view, way of thinking, we can be distracted from getting to know the only true and living God. We need to get our eyes on God today. Get your eyes on God. This Jewish nation, they were in the ceremonial law, the traditional law that they had that we read about through the Old Testament. They had the tabernacle. They had the ordinances of the tabernacle, which all pointed to the person of Jesus Christ, to the work that Jesus Christ would do even on the cross. These Jews, so they were taught by Moses through all of these ordinances, as they saw the priests offering daily those sacrifices which could never take away sins, they were to look towards who? They were to look towards Christ, the future Redeemer, the future Messiah who would come, the Anointed One who would come and deliver his people from their sins. They lost sight of the promise that was given to Abraham way back in Genesis chapter 12. In thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. They lost sight of Christ, the blessing that would come from the line of the descendants. And it's easy to get our eyes off the Lord, isn't it, even today? They had, by faith, they were looking forward to the future coming of the Lord. And by faith today, we look to the Lord, and it's very easy. It's very easy to get our eyes off the Lord. And they get distracted by the things in the world. This nation, they suffered 18 years of hard work, labour. And sure, they endured a lot of sweat and the blazing heat every day, thinking about what they had done against God, regretting perhaps the idols they set up, the temptations that they delved themselves into. But they trudge on in their weariness. They continue slaving away. They're weighed down by the heavy regret of the coldness towards God. And I'm sure they thought, if only we had a thought, if only we had done that, or if only we had done this, if only we had done the other. But they realise, what have we done? What have we done? You know, believer, don't wait 18 years to start obeying the truths of Scripture. Don't wait that long. Start today. You who are not saved, don't wait. If even God spares you, don't even think you can wait 18 years to get saved. What about the eternal punishment that God has prepared for those that reject Christ? We think of this punishment that was just a temporary punishment, a physical punishment in life. What about the spiritual punishment? It's not for 18 years. It's not for 8 years that the children of Israel suffered. It's for eternity. It's for eternity. It will last for eternity. It's an eternal damnation to the soul. Why? Because they rejected Christ. And that is what the punishment of hell is for. For those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has shed his blood, the one who has made a way to get to God, and those people who have just blindly turned away and gone in another direction and continued in their sin. Let's see how Israel repented very quickly. Verse 15, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, the Lord raised them up, a deliverer. Ehud, the son of Jerah, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord. They've had enough. They can't take it anymore. The punishment perhaps is too great to bear. The Israelites realized what they'd done. They stopped trusting in God. They stopped trusting in God. Believer, if you stop trusting in God, maybe in your prayer times, you find it difficult to pray. Is it because you've stopped trusting in God? You want to try and do it your own way. And that can happen in the heart of us as men and women and young people. You see, we thought of sin there separating us from God. You know, sin in our lives causes pride to build up in our lives. And sometimes when that pride gets in thick and we don't want to admit that we need somebody to help us, and we try and trudge through our weariness and our spiritual lives thinking, well, it'll be okay, it'll not be too bad, instead of taking it to the Lord in prayer, mapping it out as Hezekiah did with his letter in the book of Kings, and presenting our problem before the Lord and leaving it there with him, trusting that he will undertake and overrule in all things. You know, it's easy to hold on to old habits. Maybe that's the problem. You don't want to give up that sin that's in your life. And that can happen. It's happened to me. I admit that. It's happened to me. There's a sin that's been in my life. Different things have come in. And it's hard to give it up. But you have to go forward with the Lord. You have to. You learn that. You learn to put it out of the way in order to go through with the Lord. For the Lord to help you to continue on in your walk with the Lord. Acts chapter 20. And the verse 21 says, in regards to repentance and faith towards the Lord, Acts chapter 20 and the verse 21, repentance towards, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. There must be a repentance, there must be a turning away from ourselves towards God, and we must be looking to God by faith. Have you faith to believe that God can smash the hindrance that's in your life, the sin that has corrupted your mind and corrupted your heart, that sin that's holding you back from going forward? Have you faith in God? You should have. We should have faith in God, because God can conquer that trial in your life. God can conquer that problem in your life. God can conquer those things that are holding us back from going on with him. Have your repenting heart this morning, as you see your sin being laid upon the Savior Jesus Christ. Does the guilt of sin cause you to run to him by faith for forgiveness? Think about Israel's deliverance. Look at the end or the beginning of verse 15, after they cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Jerah, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. The Lord raised up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Jerah, a Benjamite. This is how they are rescued. This is how they are encouraged. God has provided the Israelites, yet with another deliverer, another judge, Ehud. And remember, after, as we've seen, they've cried unto the Lord, remember that God is willing to hear the cries of his people. And he's willing to rescue them from sin. And he will respond and immediately forgive. And that is the wonderful thing about the Lord. We thought of how God is a God of love and he hates sin. But while God is a God who hates sin, he is a God who is loving and he will forgive. He will heal those who are brokenhearted. He will help those who are going through trials and troubles and have things in their lives, sins in their lives, holding them back. He will overcome those things. I'll just finish with a couple of thoughts in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 and the verse 27, where we see our deliverer. We thought about the deliverer Ehud, who delivered Israel. We have a greater deliverer, Jesus Christ. We read of Christ in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27. It speaks of Christ who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. Remember on the cross, he cried, "It is finished." We thought a couple of weeks ago, I think we did a couple of weeks ago, of the new and living way that was made through the flesh of Jesus Christ, and we thought of the ceremonial, the ceremonial law, and those ordinances, and we thought of how the veil was rent from top to bottom. Why? Because the new and living way was opened. Well, here's another wonderful truth. We think of Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 12. If you look at Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 12, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." We have a great high priest who has finished the work and has sat down. What's the wonderful truth in this? We'll look at verse 11 in chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 11. "Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." Those high priests who were offering the sacrifices and through the ceremonial ordinances and the sacrifices, those sacrifices could never take away sin. But here we see our deliverer who has sat down at the right hand of God. Those high priests in the traditional ceremonies, they could never sit down in their ministry. They were always standing daily, the verse tells us. But Christ, who has done the work, he has accomplished the work, he has finished the work on the cross, he has sat down at the right hand of God. He has overcome what is needed to be done. He has fulfilled what was needed to be done. The eternal deliverance from bondage and the law is being made, as Abel has been made through our Saviour Jesus Christ, and the free offer of grace is offered through him. Persevere, persevere, child of God. Confess your sin before God. Look to Christ. Look to him who is the author and finisher of our faith. Turn away from those things and press towards the mark of the high calling of God. We mentioned in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 about last week about having the renewed image of Christ in our minds. Look to Christ. Look to him. He will help you. Take comfort from the word of God this morning. Be encouraged to go forward in his name. Stand firm in the word of God. Get grounded in it. And you who are not seen, turn towards Jesus Christ. We must repent before we go forward. Repent, then go forward. Turn, then go forward. Walk after Jesus Christ.